Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Justin Rowe, and I am joined today by my co-host, Michael Spath. It is December 3rd. I can't believe it's already December. We are to the last couple weeks of the Big Ten football season. Big Ten basketball has started. Well, not the conference, but Big Ten basketball teams have started playing, which I think to Michigan fans is a pretty good thing. Mike, how are you doing out there this week?
I'm doing well, Justin, and certainly, yeah, I enjoyed the Michigan basketball game last night. It was crazy to me because I was looking at the bottom line when the scores were coming across, and Michigan's played three games, and I believe there's somebody in the Big Ten that's played four games already, and Northwestern had not played a game yet. And it just goes to show you that there's, like, nothing uniform about this college basketball season. Certainly, we've seen that to be the case in this year's college football season. I mean, Wisconsin has played – three games so far in the Big Ten college football season, while some teams, I believe Penn State has played all six of their games, but making the most of it, trying to enjoy it, if there's a good game on, trying to watch it. Although, as you're well aware, Justin, 10 p.m. for an Illinois Baylor basketball game is well past my bedtime for a Wednesday night.
That's for sure. I know you're kind of a grandpa a little bit over there. You're going to bed like, what do you eat dinner at about 4 o'clock and then go to bed 5:30, 6 o'clock, right?
Something like that. Definitely. With John, with the little guy waking up in the morning pretty early. Yeah. I mean, like, we're in bed by 10 o'clock, and if the light's not off by 10:30, it's a late night for my wife and I. But the good news is that Michigan basketball has played at reasonable times each night. And last night, Justin, I mean, other than I was looking at their box score before we started this podcast, and, you know, they were up at 20 points about 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. And Ball State, got it down to 7, with a nice run for them. But if you take away that 5-point stretch from Michigan basketball last night that they didn't play their best and Ball State played well, I mean, you're looking at a game that Michigan just thoroughly dominated. The final score was 84-65. Take away that 5-minute stretch and Michigan, won by 32 points. And so that was the type of game that we thought we would see on Sunday night against Oakland. A lot of versatility, a lot of different guys contributing. I think they had 4 players in double figures yesterday. And so, you know, Justin, how much did that make you feel a little bit better? Because, you know, you have a hiccup game on Sunday night against Oakland. You start to go like, oh man, like, you know, maybe this team's going to go through some growing pains here, but they come out and just really took it to Ball State on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think that it really means a lot because Ball State is a solid program, just like Bowling Green was. I think those are going to be two of the best teams in the MAC. And, you know, you can say, oh, it's just the MAC, you know, because I think some people have seen, you know, Wisconsin play some good teams. You saw Michigan State beat Duke the other day, which is obviously a great win for them. But still, I think that in the early goings here, playing good teams in the MAC is a big deal. And so I think it was a great bounce back. I think it's tough to look at the game versus Oakland and say that that is what we could expect from Michigan throughout the year, because they played a weird zone. Michigan obviously hadn't seen that, so it threw them off. And so Michigan came back and cut down the turnovers by a lot. And I think that was really probably a big focal point of Juwan Howard, right? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I think that that was really what we can more expect from Michigan, is what they showed versus Ball State rather than versus Oakland. And so when you look at the box score, like you said, it's really, really balanced, even with Isaiah Livers going for 21. And I thought, I know that's not a Big Ten team. That was about as good as Isaiah Livers has ever played. Mm-hmm. He barely missed. He was 8 for 11 from the floor. Didn't miss from the free throw line. Was making shots from all over the floor, whether it was 3-point land, whether it was a dunk. He got his mid-range going really, really well. I thought that he was probably the MVP, and I could see him, you know, if he can do that game in and game out, he's a Big Ten Player of the Year candidate, no doubt. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he's been better in these first three games than I even expected him to be. And, you know, he looks obviously completely healthy. He's able to go to the rim for some he has some thunderous dunks that he puts down. His three-point shooting now through three games is 53%, which is a really nice number. He hasn't gotten to the free throw line a whole bunch. But yeah, he's playing outstanding basketball, and it's everywhere too. I mean, he's getting rebounds. He's getting, you know, he's getting a couple assists. He's playing solid defense. He has versatility at 6'7", 230, and something that he's shown in the past that he can play, he can defend a three, and he can defend a four because of his strength. And yeah, I've been really impressed with what we've seen out of Isaiah so far. I think the other guy, you know, a couple other guys that had nice games yesterday, that I was happy to see. You know, Mike Smith had a tough outing against Oakland, got into foul trouble, barely scored. And, you know, I think my former colleague Brandon Brown mentioned this on Twitter, that, you know, Mike Smith can get to the basket pretty consistently. And when he gets there, he can finish. And, you know, I think every Michigan basketball fan is, you know, looks back at the 3 years of starting of Xavier Simpson and is going to, you know, and has good thoughts about Xavier Simpson. But, you know, when he got to the basket, I mean, it was so often the hook shot because he couldn't finish. And he's too short, too small, whatever it was. You know, he had to deploy that to his credit, you know, that really nice hook shot he came up with. But Mike Smith is just a little bit more of a scoring point guard. And so he had a nice night yesterday, 5 of 8, 10 points, 3 assists, just 1 turnover. And then, you know, I was also happy to see Franz Wagner. You know, he had a tough game against Oakland, and he came back with 14 points, 6 boards, 1 of 1 from 3-point land. And so, you know, a couple other guys who got in there, played well. Hunter Dickinson kept it up, 12 points, 11 rebounds. You know, it was interesting. I don't know about you. I was listening to the broadcast yesterday, and they made a couple of comments about Hunter Dickinson being a one and done, Justin. And I thought to myself, well, first of all, I don't think so, because as well as he's playing right now, I mean, they even mentioned that, like, the NBA game, the five position, there's not a lot of, you know, Andre, there's a reason that Andre Drummond was such a bust in Detroit for so long. It's because mm-hmm. nobody plays the game that way anymore. They don't play the game, you know, 2 feet from the rim. It's not Shaquille O'Neal and Patrick Ewing anymore. All the fives have to be able to step out like Anthony Davis and shoot the rock. And so, you know, Hunter, I don't think he's ever going to be a dynamic 3-point shooter. But he's going to have to show more than just an ability down near the rim. But down near the rim, I mean, he's unstoppable right now, because he's going against guys that are smaller than him, that he's more physical than. I give him a lot of credit, too, because he finishes. He doesn't – you know, we talked about this, I think, on our Monday podcast. Like, he finishes the basketball, which I love to see. So a lot of really good things that came out of the game yesterday against Ball State.
Yeah, the one thing that jumped out to me, too, was Michigan was only 4 of 15 from the 3-point arc. And so last year, even in the John Beilein era, it was if Michigan didn't shoot the three well, they weren't going to win the game. And they definitely weren't going to win a game handily like they did last night. And again, I know it's a lesser opponent, but for them to only go 26% from 3-point and still dominate the way that they did, I think shows the versatility of this team and that they can score in a lot of different ways. And so I think that that bodes well for the rest of the season because I think especially, you know, obviously looking to March is far away at the moment, but when you're trying to game plan for this team, how do you game plan for a team like this where they are, you know, 8-9 guys deep that can actually score, move the ball, play defense, do it all. And then if you really don't know, because I think we don't know either, who's going to go off for them? Is it going to be Franz Wagner? Is it going to be Isaiah Livers? Is it going to be Hunter Dickinson? Is it going to be Shaundi Brown? So I think that the way that they can move the ball around to different guys and have different guys, you know, go off in a sense at different times is really dangerous. And so when they get into Big Ten play here, I'll be interested to see if, you know, Livers still is the guy a night in and night out, or if it will keep going in and out to, you know, Franz Wagner will have his night and Hunter will have his night, depending on, you know, if the other team has a big guy or things like that.
Well, it's they've got, as you said, I mean, they've got so much versatility. It's funny you said, like, when they get into Big Ten season, I'm like, Justin, they've only played 3 non-conference games. But then there's the reality that they're only going to play 5 total non-conference games, right? Central Florida and North Carolina State coming up. And then it's right into Big Ten play. You know, they do have a lot of versatility. The fact that, you know, you mentioned they didn't shoot the three very well. Well, they haven't shot the three very well at all in the first 3 games. That's what my only concern so far. I mean, they're shooting 31.9%. They rank 137th in college basketball in that respect. And, you know, they don't have a strong history other than, you know, other than Isaiah Livers. They don't have a great history of strong three-point shooters. I mean, Eli Brooks' career three-point shooting is 33%. You know, Franz Wagner is 30%. You know, that's not a high number. Mike Smith, is, you know, his percentage is 33% from three. I mean, like, those aren't high numbers, and the game, so much of the game today is about shooting the, from behind the arc. So that's probably been my only concern, that has come up early on. But I think the versatility, I think the depth, you know, one of the things that we didn't know coming in was, like, you know, how good Shaundi Brown will be. You know, can Mike Smith handle the point guard spot and allow Eli Brooks to stay at the two? Where is the depth coming from? And I think the fact that Hunter Dickinson has really shown himself to be an asset coming off the bench. Terrence Williams, he's looked, you know, pretty good these last 2 games. You've got Brandon Johns. You know, they're far deeper. They can go 9 deep without much of an issue here, without much of a drop-off. And so, you know, that's exciting for Michigan basketball fans going forward here. And so Justin, let me ask you too, like, not without overreacting to 3 games, but after 3 games, you know, what conclusions, what type of questions have been answered for you you think, you know, portends for the rest of the season here?
Well, the one was Hunter Dickinson. Is he going to be the guy? Is Austin Davis going to actually play, you know, a significant amount of minutes? And, yeah, he's played 13 to 15 minutes a game. I think it could probably honestly go down to 8 to 10 minutes a game when Hunter Dickinson go over, you know, into the 25 to 30 range. Hunter is that good, and I think he's only going to get better. And I think Austin Davis, you know, people are saying on Twitter and the fan base are saying, why is Austin Davis starting? Why is Hunter Dickinson not starting? Well, Hunter Dickinson is still 19 years old. He's played in 3 games. Austin Davis is a 5th-year senior captain. He's earned that spot. Juwan Howard has said out there, he said, Austin Davis has earned that spot through hard work, determination, everything else. He does everything the right way. He's going to reward that. That is the type of coach that Juwan Howard is. He's not just going to overlook that and put in a guy because he may be more talented or has a brighter future. So do I think that Hunter Dickinson is going to get the majority of the minutes throughout the year? Yes, but he may come off the bench all the time. And Austin Davis may get the start. So, yeah, well, I think that – what do you think? Go ahead. What do you think about that?
I would say this too, because, I mean, you know, I understand the argument of, like, your 5 best players play. But, I mean, you know, over the last three games, Hunter Dickinson is getting 51% of the minutes at the five, and Austin Davis is getting 30% of the minutes at the five. I mean, so it's not like, you know, and not that you're saying this, but anybody who's like complaining that, you know, they need to get the ball, they need to get Hunter Dickinson in there more. Like, I mean, he's playing more than 50% right. of the minutes at the five, you know? So I'm not really concerned about that too. I don't know that that Austin Davis gets the nod because he's a fifth year senior and he's put in the work and he's earned it. I still think that you've got to be one of the five best, but I also look at it like this. I mean, to me, who starts a game is not as important as, you know, who's getting the minutes in crunch time. And Hunter Dickinson is getting those minutes. He's getting those minutes at the end of the first half when Ball State's going on the run. He's getting their minutes in the second half. I mean, go look at his, you know, the game against Oakland. I think, you know, he played probably the final, you know, 20 minutes of that game. And so he's certainly getting it. The thing is, too, is like it's not like Juwan has this long time with Austin Davis in the first half. I mean, you know, that's the other argument is like, well, you don't want to get off to a bad start and you want to get, you know, get going the whole thing. But like, if you look at like Austin Davis, when he comes out of the game, I'm trying to pick up from yesterday here. I mean, Hunter Dickinson was in the game at, yeah, I mean, Austin Davis played the first 5 minutes and 12 seconds of that game yesterday before Hunter Dickinson was getting in. So it wasn't like he was going the first 12 minutes or something like that. And so I'm not really – that's something to certainly keep an eye on. I agree with you there. But I certainly don't think it's that big of a deal at the moment. I think the best players are going to play, and that's proven to be Hunter Dickinson so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think that his minutes will probably increase as the season goes on, and I bet you Austin Davis's will decrease. And yeah. It's not a slight to Austin Davis, you know, at all. I think Hunter Dickinson is that good as a freshman already. And so I'm very excited for him in the future to get into Camp Sanderson and see what he can do. And, you know, and that's, of course, if he's not a first-round pick next year, one and done.
Yeah, right.
He's definitely.
I mean, you know, he's 7'1". He's listed at 7'1", 255. And I wonder, though, a little bit, like, how much bigger does he need to get? I mean, I think you could probably put, looking at him, you could probably put 20 pounds on him. But I don't think you really want to go above and beyond that. Like, I don't think he needs to be, you know, 7', 315 pounds. I mean, he's already got broad shoulders. He's already got big arms. I mean, you put him 20 pounds on him, make him 7'1", 275. I mean, that is going to be a imposing physical presence. Like, how big is Kofi Coburn from Illinois, who those guys lost yesterday in, I don't want to say, it wasn't humiliating fashion, right? But, like, big game, all this talk about Illinois being the best team in the Big Ten, preseason top five, and they lost by 13 yesterday to Baylor in a game that, you know, frankly, I mean, it's neutral site, but it's in Indiana, which is a hell of a lot closer. I know there's no home court advantage in the whole thing, but they didn't have to travel as much and all that. And so I was kind of surprised by that outcome. I didn't watch the game. We already established that I'm an old man and went to bed early, but I was surprised by the final score.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you're looking around the Big Ten, you know, Michigan State was very impressive in their win against Duke.
Absolutely.
Although I do think Duke did not play to their potential, but I still think that Michigan State is pretty damn good. Aaron Henry looks like a completely different player mm-hmm. this year. He's aggressive. Joey Hauser makes them, you know, he really mm-hmm. puts them over the edge. It'll be interesting to see how our bigs, how, you know, Austin Davis and Hunter Dickinson go against their, you know, Matty Sissoko, their new guy, and then Gabe Brown and some of those, their other big dudes. I think as far as like looking at Michigan still, you know, the one thing that you highlighted it a little bit, but Eli Brooks can't go 1 for 5 from three. I'm sorry, but you're the two guard. You're now a senior. You know the offense in and out. You should be, and a lot of them are wide open looks. And so if Michigan is going to be as good as we think they could be, Eli Brooks needs to be a knockdown three-point shooter if he's open. Mm-hmm. And so when I see Eli Brooks going 1 for 5 from three with 7 points, I mean, he should be 2 for 5 at least, if not 3 for 5, you know, going into double digits. And so Eli Brooks and Mike Smith are going to be two of these guys that really could, you know, they're going to – Michigan's going to go those are the two X factors to me, along with Shaun D. Brown, of course. But I just think that when you're looking at the three-point shooting, Mike Smith's he's a good three-point shooter. Eli Brooks looks like a good three-point shooter. It's not like they – you know, I'm sure in practice they're knocking these shots down left and right, right? So I think when you get in the game, you know, you need Mike Smith to make one or two threes a game. You need Eli Brooks to be making two or three threes a game. And that really makes Michigan's offense it takes them to the next level.
Well, I think when you look at Eli, you know, he shot 36% from three last year. It felt like he was better than that. This year he's not off to a great start. He's 4 of 12 from three. When I watch Eli Brooks, and this is what I was curious with Mike Smith coming in, is, you know, everybody kind of talked about, well, Eli Brooks will be the point guard, and I never thought that was the case. I mean, I don't – he really, really came into his own last year as the two guard. I think that's where he feels most comfortable. He's gotten most of his minutes. 47% of his minutes have been at the two this season, 30% at the one. But I wonder how much of the fact that last year Xavier Simpson was a distributor first, a ball handler and a playmaker, and that created this role for Eli that he eventually embraced as like, hey, I need to be a scorer for this team. I need to be shooting the basketball consistently. And I thought he did a really nice job with that. And this year now you've got a scoring point guard. And I think it's diminished Eli Brooks. It certainly has diminished his need to score as much. And I just, in all three games, like I don't feel like Eli has looked super comfortable. He doesn't look like he's a guy who's hunting for his shot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that dynamic's going to have to play out over a few more games and a few more weeks, because I'm with you. Like Eli is too good of a shooter and someone who can really stroke it from the outside and a great defender and someone that can get to the basket. He's got to get back into a comfort zone. Three games in, really early, not writing him off, but certainly these next two games against Central Florida on Sunday and North Carolina State next Wednesday, you know, the two top teams on Michigan's non-conference schedule before they open up the season with Penn State December 13th. You'd love to see him get into a much better place mentally and physically in the games.
Yeah, and one more thing that I really want to see, and it's hard to say right now you want to see more from Isaiah Livers, but I want to see him get to the rim a little bit more. And because he is a guy – here's a crazy stat. The last time that Isaiah Livers missed a free throw was November 28th of 2019, so almost a year – over a year ago. He's made 41 straight free throws. So only having 41 straight free throws in a year's time. I know they got cut short last year with the tournament and everything. But I want to see him get to the rack, because when he's either going to finish it or he's going to get fouled, and where he rarely misses. So that's a part of his game that I don't think he has truly, you know, reached his potential on. He's obviously a great 3-point shooter. He showed last night that he was, that he's great from the mid range. He can get to the bucket when he wants to, and he throws down those dunks. So why not try that more? I'd love to see him go one-on-one sometimes with some guys and just say, hey, I'm bigger than you and stronger than you, and so I'm going to go get to the bucket, and you're going to follow me, and I'm going to go 4 for 4 from the free throw line. You know, honestly, I'd love to see him 10 for 10 from the free throw line. And so I think that is the one part, and this is nitpicking, obviously, because Isaiah Livers was near perfect last night. But I'd love to see him really take his game to the next level there in terms of getting to the rack.
Yeah, so certainly it's three games. There's things that everybody can work on. They've got these big games coming up, or bigger games coming up, I should say. Central Florida, at least according to KenPom, is about 100, you know, ranked about 100th. That'd be 30 points better than Ball State. NC State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge a week from yesterday. You know, Michigan predicted to win both games. So it'll certainly be some good basketball to come. And, you know, Justin, on the other side, without football, all we have right now is Michigan basketball and Michigan hockey, women's basketball, certainly. But let's take a little break, and we'll come back and talk Michigan football, the Big Ten, and what's next for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. So, Justin, you know, it's certainly been a tough year for so many, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do for the holidays. How do you take care of that person that you love? And our friends at Lewis Jewelers right now are offering 10% off when you use the promo code GIFT4U when you order online. GIFT4U to get 10% off your purchase. You know, if your significant other is a jewelry fan, you know, whether that's earrings, necklaces, bracelets, maybe you're looking to buy that engagement ring for this year, you can take advantage of this great deal. You can also do it, for the men, like I said, watches. They have bracelets and rings for men at Lewis Jewelers. So you can learn much more going to lewisjewelers.com. You can also shop by text at 734-994-5111 or email lewis.a2@lewisjewelers.com. Visit lewisjewelers.com for more information. And I've noticed our friends in Ann Arbor, if you go to annarbor.org or Google Destination Ann Arbor, you know, this is a website that represents all things Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, the surrounding areas. And they've been sending out shopping guides for Dexter, for Ann Arbor, Ipsy, Saline, Milan, Manchester. And so you can take a look at these. It's a great way to support locally here in Washtenaw County and keep those businesses going. I know I was just reading something yesterday that said, you know, there's a chance that something like 40% of small businesses may not make it through the winter if we remain in lockdown, shutdown mode. And so it is just so critically important. If you have the option between, no offense to our friends at Amazon, but choosing between Amazon and choosing between one of our local businesses, please consider one of our local businesses, and you can learn much more by going to annarbor.org. So, Justin, you look at it, the Big Ten, I shouldn't even say the Big Ten, Michigan had to cancel its game against Maryland for Saturday. This got announced on Wednesday. Ward Manuel, Michigan's athletic director, finally came out of the dungeon to make this announcement and to address some concerns first levied by Kirk Herbstreit that Michigan was purposely doing this to duck Ohio State next weekend. Ohio State, meanwhile, had to cancel last weekend's game against Illinois due to COVID. You know, Ohio State would be without their head coach, Ryan Day, who is still in quarantine after testing positive last week. You know, I look at this, we certainly thought that the season was going to be interrupted by COVID. And, I put the over-under at like 1.5 for Michigan games to get canceled. And now, you know, here we find their very first game. And, you know, Justin, you know, I wonder where you find yourself a little bit. Obviously, from the healthcare standpoint, all of us are, you know, certainly wishing, praying that that the athletes and the coaches that are impacted, you know, recover quickly and have no, you know, significant symptoms. But just kind of, I mean, now we've kind of lived through, we're, you know, 12 weeks into football season, we're like 7 weeks into the Big Ten season. Should they have done this? Like, was this worth it to play football this year with as many games that have been canceled, with as many issues that have arisen? You know, you're talking about, like, how do you determine a true Big Ten champion? What should you do with the college football playoffs? I mean, how do you feel about this season now that we have some hindsight?
You know, it's hard to say, because I do think that even playing a shortened season with games canceled, it still probably helped out every athletic department monetarily wise, so that they didn't have to do, you know, even more layoffs than they probably already have. So I think in terms of that point, yes, it probably helped out. But when you did it the way that the Big Ten did it, which was basically they did it in shambles. It was, you know, between the first cancellation and then coming back. And then now, you know, then they did a shortened schedule with no weeks of no bye weeks for any room for error. It really looks like it's a kind of a shit show, and it is. And now you have teams that have played six games. You have some teams that have played three games. We're going into the last 2 weeks of the season, and the best team far and away, Ohio State, may not make it to your Big Ten title game. So I don't want to say they shouldn't have played, but the way that they did it, they shouldn't have done it. And so I think we all still wanted football. We still want football. I would love to be watching Michigan play Maryland this week. But I think that the way that everything had to go, and of course hindsight is 2020, you know, but I'm pretty sure we all knew going into the season that just about nobody was going to play eight games of this Big Ten schedule. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, all right, well, you knew there was going to be missed games and you knew you were going to be at this point, you know, or close to it at the end of the season. So what was the plan? Was the plan always to go to the end of the season and Barry Alvarez is going to say, you know what, we need to change the rules and just so that Ohio State can get in the playoff and can get in the Big Ten championship game? That's where I have struggles with how the Big Ten has handled this. And again, I think it's really difficult. You know, nobody has an answer. It's really hard for anybody to know what to do, what not to do at these times. In hindsight, it's 2020, but I would think that with the money that these Big Ten officials, the athletic directors, and things like that get paid, they're paid to make tough decisions. And a lot of tough decisions have not been made correctly.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, if we're going to be revisionist historians here, I think that's unfair to every conference, every athletic director. I mean, back in September when the SEC and ACC were playing, everybody was clamoring for this, right? Like, bring back the Big Ten. And then they announced that they were going to come back and it was celebrated. And so I think it's kind of hypocritical for me. I'm not speaking for you, but for me to sit there and be like, well, you know, they never should have played this season, or why didn't they have the hindsight? Because they did have the hindsight, you know, they did have the foresight, I should say, looking ahead and saying, you know, this is just going to be difficult and it may not work. And we're exposing our athletes to all this different stuff. At the same time, I mean, it's a rock and a hard place. I mean, you know, Ward Manuel back in October, you know, mentioned that the fact that they were going to play the Big Ten football season and they were going to be able to fulfill their television contract, you know, Michigan was looking to, they were possibly going to lose $60, $70, $80 million in revenue this year. And they were going to have to, you know, people were taking pay cuts. Were they going to have to cut sports? And the fact that they were able to fulfill their television contract, you know, that was a far smaller hit financially to Michigan and to the Big Ten. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of factors here. What I think is probably the most important thing is like, okay, let's not just keep plowing ahead. Let's look at this, especially when the Big Ten and all these conferences get to the end of this regular season. Like, if you're the Big Ten, they announced that they were all going to have this extra ninth game. Like, is that really necessary? It's not on the schedule. So why not just drop that? I mean, I know that, you know, part of it is for like the revenue purposes for television contract, but, you know, get the Big Ten championship game played, you know, I guess find a way to get Ohio State in there, even though, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you shouldn't be bending the rules for one school. I mean, let's face it, they're the best team in the Big Ten East. They beat Indiana. There's nobody else in the Big Ten East, Michigan State, Penn State, that deserves to go. It should be Ohio State. So put them there, give them the championship game. But like, do we, every other school need to play this ninth game? No, I don't think so. Do we need to have a bowls this year? No, like to pack up 115 players from Michigan and coaches and 115 players from UCLA and send them to, you know, Baton Rouge, Louisiana for the Independence Bowl. Like, you know, that's the problem. Like, there's really no reason to do something like that. And I know it sucks for other communities. And I certainly, you know, I know that that's part of the element here is all these communities are usually count on the tourist dollars and stuff like that, but they ain't going to get those tourist dollars. The fans aren't coming to those games. Mm-hmm. Right. And so they're not traveling those games. Like, and so all the only thing that's really helping is you get the two teams that are going to have to stay in a hotel or two hotels. So like, you know, one hotel, two hotels are going to benefit. It's awful. And it's a bad situation overall, but like, I just think like we should kind of reevaluate what we're going to do going forward here. for the rest of the football season and say, if we don't need to play these games, like they're kind of unnecessary. Let's not just keep plowing ahead. Like that would be my biggest change, Justin, going forward here.
Yeah, I think that, and it's tough because we are in Ann Arbor, right? And right now the mood in Ann Arbor is let's just end this season. And so I don't know if that is the same mood everywhere, but it kind of seems like that outside of Ohio State, maybe even, you know, Northwestern. Who else wants to, you know, truly be playing football right now? Mm-hmm. And so there's something to that. I think there are a lot of schools that are like, my gosh, you know, we still need to, you know, we're still focusing on the health of our student athletes, and every week it gets tougher and tougher. And so for them now with multiple sports going on, basketball, hockey, you know, I think that a lot of athletic departments are thinking, let's kind of limp through the end of this season and just get it over with. I know that's how Michigan is feeling. And so I don't know. It just seems like there's it just seems like in the hindsight, Michigan and a lot of the rest of the Big Ten are thinking, you know what, this was a great idea. It didn't really play out how we hoped it would have, and that's it. Now, I do want to get into now the fact of the waving the white flag, Mike. Where do you stand? Kirk Herbstreit came out, you know, with his comments. He backed him up. He backed up his comments pretty much immediately. And then Ward Manuel came out with some very strong, I've never seen Ward Manuel talk like that pretty much in my entire life. And so where do you stand on Kirk Herbstreit first? And then where do you stand on where, you know, how Michigan responded and where they stand?
Yeah. You know, I don't think he should have said it. It's bad optics. It's essentially accusing a school of, yeah, I mean, if you're wrong, it's like a little bit for me. I joke a little bit with some of my friends that are like, look, if you don't believe in God, that's totally fine. But like, I'm going to believe in God for just the chance that we're all right. And I don't want to spend the rest of my life in hell. Like, so when it comes to Herbstreit, is there a possibility that there's something to it? Maybe. But do you really want to be a guy that goes out there and publicly says that Michigan is using COVID and players are faking it when there's a decent chance that 10, 15, 20 players on the roster have COVID? Like, is that what you want to stake your reputation on? And the fact that Ohio State literally just canceled its game against Illinois because it had a significant breakout of COVID cases. And we know how serious this is. We know that, you know, 250,000 Americans have died of COVID. What is that? Like six times the normal rate for the flu in any given year. We know how many people have been displaced, how many people, like the hospitals are overrun, how many people are hurting, how it's ruined the economy. And you want to go out there and essentially say like, hey, you know what? I think Michigan did this on purpose. Like it was stupid. I think Herbstreit, you know, a lot of people said like, well, he's owned up to it. Like I think he has owned up to the fact that it was stupid. He shouldn't have said it. And yet, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are probably thinking it. I think he's not the only one in sports media. He's not the only one. I mean, I had a lot of Buckeyes come at me yesterday, and I didn't even start a fight about it, that were saying that Michigan was gutless and backing out and the whole thing. And it's, you know, here's the thing is like, what does Michigan truly gain from not playing that game against Ohio State? Like, how does it really hurt Ohio State? As I've said repeatedly, an undefeated Ohio State team is going to the college football playoff. So they don't get to play in a Big Ten championship game. Who gives a rat's ass that they don't get to play in the Big Ten championship game? They've already got, you know, 15 titles over the last 15 years. Like, do they need the 16th title? Is that really going to make a big difference? Are they really that concerned about hanging another banner? Like, for me, the only thing that they're concerned about is having enough games to earn a college football playoff, you know, inclusion. But right now they're fourth. I don't think if Ohio State plays Michigan State and plays a you know, that ninth Big Ten game and they finish the year 6-0, is Texas A&M jumping them without beating Alabama? No. Is Florida jumping them without beating Alabama? No. Is Cincinnati, an undefeated Cincinnati team, jumping them? No. Like, so stop whining about it and stop being so concerned about it. Go out there and take care of business against Michigan State and beat Wisconsin or Iowa or Northwestern in the whatever that game is for you, and you'll be fine. Like, I just think the whole conversation piece is stupid, honestly, Justin.
Yeah, I agree. It's to be honest, how I feel about it is there's nothing else to talk about right now. And so this is what fans have resorted to, and Michigan fans have no leg to stand on in this rivalry whatsoever. Right. So that's the, you know, to be honest, it's sad that there are some Michigan fans out there who want to cancel that game just to keep Ohio State out of the Big Ten title. And it's like, how far have we really fallen? Yes, I know we've fallen far, but the fact that we're trying to cancel games because we don't think we can beat Ohio State, that makes me, as a competitor, as a former athlete, like the last thing, and I guarantee you that if you talk to the coaches, if you talk to the players, that's the last thing they're thinking. Right? These guys are here to play that game. I know, you know, Will talks about it all the time. Like, they were on some really bad teams. I guarantee you they never, ever thought about, hey, I wish we weren't playing Ohio State this weekend. I wish we could just skip it and take the L. So I think that's frustrating. Honestly, Ward came out with his tough comments. I wish Jim Harbaugh came out too. I wish it was fiery Jim Harbaugh for the first time in the last 3 years, and he came out and said, screw you guys, you're talking like crazy, we want to play. You know, that's, I think he could win half the fan base back right now, maybe not completely, but at least gain a little bit back if he came out and said that. And so it bothers me that he's still completely silent on this. And that at the same time, and this is a different conversation, it bothers me that Ward Manuel came out and talked about this, but still is silent on Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'm with you, Justin, on that one. I mean, you know, if you want to be outraged, go ahead and be outraged, but maybe address and certainly look at the way that they did this. You know, Ward Manuel answered what, 3 or 4 questions from a reporter that works for the University of Michigan Athletic Department.
Right.
Appeared on MGoBlue TV. Like, he didn't do a press conference. He didn't even make himself available to 5 members of the media. Like, he's avoiding any type of Jim Harbaugh conversation, which honestly to me means bad news for Jim Harbaugh. Because if he was going to make a public appearance and be so outraged about this particular issue, this was the golden moment to come out and say, there's been questions about our football program. Jim Harbaugh has the full support of this athletic department. We believe, it's a tough year and it's been challenging, but we believe in future success under Jim Harbaugh, and we look forward to, you know, many more years with Jim, and we're going to have this contract announced soon. Like, he could have done all that yesterday, but instead he addressed this one specific issue, the cancellation of the Michigan-Maryland game, and I guess like the Herbie comments, and did nothing else. And so, you know, if you're leaving your coach twisting in the wind like this, everybody knows signing day is in 13 days, to December 16th. And Jim is, and there's been no formal announcement of a contract extension. There's been no publicly backing of Jim. I mean, Justin, like, I could be dead wrong here, but I'm usually pretty good at reading the tea leaves, and the tea leaves are all signaling the divorce of Michigan and Jim Harbaugh.
See, I looked at it a little bit differently, and I thought if Michigan has to cancel these last 2 games, that might save Jim Harbaugh's job, because he doesn't get embarrassed by Ohio State on a national level. And he now has, you know, it's just a couple more excuses of like, well, the season, you know, they only played 5 or 6 games. They, you know, it was just weird. We think that, you know, he can turn it around in a normal season next year with, some developed guys that are not, you know, no longer freshmen. I thought that this was maybe saving Jim Harbaugh's job, because it seemed like you and I both thought Jim Harbaugh is still going to be the coach earlier this season, right? In 2021. And then with every loss that we watched every Saturday, it got more and more towards, well, is he going to be? He can't possibly be. And then after the Penn State game, it was like he's forcing Ward Manuel's hand at this point. So in my head, I'm thinking that this saved him from everybody watching them possibly lose to Maryland and then very much likely lose to Ohio State. And if you, the more you watch those things happen in real life, then the more people are ready to move on from Jim Harbaugh. And so I know it's not the fan base's decision, but I still think that's a factor. And the pressure that Ward Manuel feels to get rid of Jim Harbaugh or part ways is, you know, is just piling on as they keep losing more games. Do you see some merit to that?
Yeah, I mean, you could be right. You could be right. I mean, I did think about that a little bit. Like, it gives you a little bit of an out. Look, the worst thing possible for Michigan is if they end up playing that game and they lose to Ohio State like 63-14, and then Ward Manuel wants to announce that he's bringing Jim Harbaugh back for 2021 and beyond. Like, I don't know how you do that when you'd have like the last three, you know, scores of the game, the collective score would be like 190-40. I mean, it would look so bad. But at the same time, I don't know. This is why I think we talked about this with Will Heininger in our Sunday podcast, that no one is a super close to Ward. Like, Ward has such a small inner circle and Jim has such a small inner circle that, you know, if we're being honest, I mean, it's a lot of speculation. It's a lot of trying to read the tea leaves. It's probably overreacting to certain things because there's this dearth of information. You know, and I certainly understand, I'm a big proponent of transparency and thinking that when it comes to major decisions and stuff like this, that programs, coaches, ADs need to be upfront and honest. But when you're talking about like firing a coach, divorcing from a coach, you know, there's a reason that you keep things on the down low. And certainly that's what Ward Manuel is doing right now. So here's the thing, Justin, with that signing day, December 16th, the season ending December 12th, like, we should know one way or another. Like, there's no contract extension announced by the time of signing day, then I can't imagine he's coming back. Mm-hmm. And the longer this goes, I can't imagine he's coming back because, again, you are just literally selling out your coach. They're going to lose recruits from negative recruiting, not just about the on-field play, but they're going to lose recruits to negative recruiting because coaches are going to say they don't have a commitment to Jim Harbaugh. He's not going to be the coach in 2021. They're not going to be the coach in 2022, certainly. There's no contract there. You've got to do something, man. So I still don't get it. I don't understand it. And just the absolute silence from Ward Manuel on this issue is doing nobody any favors. So we'll see what happens this weekend if Ohio State does play its game against Michigan State. The quality of games this weekend, I don't know if you looked at it, Justin, but are so bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and part of that is because games are getting canceled, you know, left and right. I don't know. I think there's maybe like 12 games this weekend that are being canceled. Probably the best game of the weekend is a Big Ten showdown between Wisconsin and Indiana at 3:30. So at least there's some decent football on. But I don't know about you, man. Like, I was so geeked for football season, so excited for football season. You know, it certainly doesn't help that Michigan has been poor. But I guess I just haven't been as invested in the other games as much as I usually am. And maybe that's because so much has been up in the air. But I mean, like, looking at this upcoming weekend, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games have already been postponed or canceled.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of them are teams at Alabama. You know, it's teams that are in the college football race, college football playoff race. It's teams that matter to the Big Ten. It's teams, I agree with you. I think a lot of it does have to do with how bad Michigan has played. But still, I just think that it's 2020 and people are sitting here looking at this and thinking – You know what? I'm kind of over football at this point. We're getting towards, you know, well, let's think about it. Also, this would have been last weekend would have been the last week of real football, you know, in a normal year. So I think the turning of the season also changes people. Like normally you're gearing up for basketball and things like that. I think that it's tough right now. And so I can't say even with Michigan canceled on Saturday, it's not like I'm, you know, pumped to sit on the couch and watch the SEC for 10 hours or something like that. So we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. We'll see. What would you put your percentage at of the Michigan Ohio State game being played right now?
You know what? I honestly, Justin, think it's closer. I think it's above 50%. And the reason I think it's above 50% is as much as there was probably no truth to the wave the white flag, I think Michigan is so pissed about it and they've been called out that there might be a little bit of like a, hey, you know, if we don't play that game next week, we are going to get labeled as chicken like that. Mm-hmm. Even if that's not true, even if this is entirely a medical thing, they're going to come at us and they're going to accuse us and they're going to accuse Jim Harbaugh of wimping out in this whole thing. And so again, if medically, like if it's just not physically possible, then that's that. Like there's no, you can bend the rules and find a way. But I mean, like if their cases are down a little bit and all that comes down to is like preparation, because like, they're not supposed to return to the field until next Tuesday. But if, and so part of one of the reasons that they get these games canceled is because these teams just don't feel like they're physically prepared yet for the game. But I don't think that would be an issue. I think that would get kind of pushed aside and say like, well, we've got to make it work because we don't want this to be, you know, we don't want to be labeled a certain way and have that, that, you know, that black mark on our record, as unfair as it might be. That is going to be a talking point among, you know, national media, national sports talk show hosts. And it's going to be a bad look, but they're not going to care because they've never cared about taking Michigan down a couple of notches.
No, not at all. But if there was ever a time for Jim Harbaugh to find a way to rally the troops, this is it, right? You've got all the billboard material that you – bulletin board material that you need. You've got A. Ryan Day saying that he wants to hang 100 on you. You've got Herb Street on national TV saying that you're going to wave the white flag. I mean, what else do you need to get motivated for this game? And so, obviously, the talent levels are different, and Michigan's playing poorly, and they may not even have a quarterback. But, I mean, geez, this is about as motivated and underdog and chip on your shoulder that you can get for Michigan. So, if they could put it together for 1 week, you know, and figure out how to play for each other and say, F all the haters, you know, F Ohio State, I think that, you know, maybe a miracle happens. But
no, the problem with that, and we can certainly talk about that next week. If it looks like there's going to be a game, is at the end of the day, Justin, there's no amount of rallying the troops. Michigan is in a bad spot defensively. And they're in a bad spot at quarterback. Cade McNamara is banged up, probably would not be able to play the rest of the year. Joe Milton's confidence is shot. There's some, you know, some back and forth between him and the coaching staff. It's just not a good situation. This is not a Devin Gardner 2013, come out there and play, you know, phenomenal football and, or even, I mean, this is incredible to say, but this isn't even John O'Korn 2017 where you can put it together for 1 week and give yourself a chance until the very end of the game. This is just a bad spot for Michigan. And if they do play the game next week, they're going to lose by 35 plus. I truly believe that. It's just, there's no way around it. And it sucks to be a Michigan fan and to consider that. But it is so the way that it is. So Justin, I'm excited. Tomorrow we're going to have a special podcast, a hockey specific podcast. A couple of former Michigan players, Tony Calderon, former captain for Mel Pearson's first team that went to the Frozen Four just a few years ago, and Nico Pericos, who played for the Wolverines just a couple of years ago too. They're going to join us. We've been looking for some more hockey insider. Michigan beat Penn State on Wednesday night. They play again, you know, probably by the time people listen to this podcast, they're playing again on Thursday night. against Penn State, looking to improve to right now they're five and two on the season, looking to improve to 6-2 on the season. So we'll get into the hockey discussion with them. Looking forward to that. We'll certainly come back and we'll talk to Will. I think we're going to chat it up a little bit, and on Sunday for our normal football podcast, we'll talk about the Big Ten. We'll talk about all things college football. So thanks for listening again today. And thanks for following us. Our numbers have been steadily going up these last 6 weeks. So appreciate you spreading the word. If you want to contribute, you can do so to the podcast, whether you want to donate 99 cents a month, or I think it's $4.99, and up to $10 a month. We use that to pay our guests like Will and Ruben Riley and any future guests that we'll have.
Looking forward to these next couple podcasts for hockey and basketball, as well as football. You can always follow us on Twitter at Stadium Main Pod on Twitter. I am Justin Rowe 92. Mike is Michael Spath ITH. Give us a follow and we'll continue our coverage throughout the hockey season, basketball season, and whatever it is for the rest of the football season as well. Thanks for listening.
This is the Stadium and Main Podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.